A very good morning to you all, and welcome to day 30 of 40 days Lenten prayers and reflections. Today is Tuesday, 23rd March choose to put on the holy clothes you want us to wear in the coming weeks. Mercy instead of vengeance, kindness instead of indifference, humility instead of pride, gentleness instead of harshness, patience instead of impatience. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, help us to place these virtues in our hearts, minds, attitudes, words, and actions, whether demonstrated privately, online, or in public. Hold us accountable, Lord. Make us ambassadors of humility to all around us. Amen. Listen now for the word of God from the Gospel according to St. Mark chapter 10, the verses 35-45. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. "Teacher," they said, "we want you to do for us whatever we ask." "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. They replied, "Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory." "You don't know what you are asking," Jesus said. "Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared." When the 10 heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus Christ has been telling his disciples that he will be betrayed to the chief priests and teachers of the law, that they will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him, flog him and kill him, and that 3 days later he will rise. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him and said, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. They replied, "Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory." "You don't know what you are asking," Jesus replied. The sons of Zebedee estimated that the climax to Jesus' ministry was near, and they imagined Jesus sitting on a throne of power, and they wanted to flank him on both sides. Our Lord must have been deeply disappointed in their request for authority, because it was in complete collusion with the standards he had come into the world to teach and to inaugurate. Jesus had told them repeatedly that a good leader must be servant of all, and that it is in losing oneself that we find it again. But here were his disciples doing the opposite thing, looking for thrones and places of privilege. While he was thinking of a cross, they were thinking of crowns. His burden because of our sin was matched by their blindness, his sacrifice by their selfishness. He wanted only to give even his own life. They wanted only to get. His motive was service, theirs was self-satisfaction. "We want places of honor," they demanded. "You don't know what you are asking," Jesus replied, and then went on to ask another question. "Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? Can you submit to the suffering and agony of a selfless life? Will you endure the unfair treatment of others?" And again, the brother's response was as brash as their request. "We can." They are self-confident in their own abilities, as the rich man was in Mark 10:17-22. They believe they can endure a little hardship if Jesus will grant them seats of power in his kingdom. They understand faithful discipleship to Jesus as a means to a selfish end. It will help them achieve their goal of having power over others. These disciples have displayed a delight in power, glorious achievements, and personal ambition. They want a Messiah who is beyond suffering and death, and will then offer them all of their heart's desires. I venture to say, friends, there are many Zebedees in our time and in the church. Many who see discipleship to Jesus as a means to a selfish end. Think of some Christian people who seek positions of authority in church so that they can wield power and influence over others. Think of increasing numbers of people who are building personality cults come churches, where family members occupy top positions and control the family religious empire. They employ market techniques in order to extort money from their adherents. They frighten them with death and other misfortunes if they fail to obey their commands, as they seek to keep their hold on power over people so they can continue to milk them dry. They display their stupendous wealth through ostentatious cars and private jets, and claim that religiosity is a means to riches, while their followers wallow in anarchic poverty. Their interpretation of scripture is that Jesus came to make us rich, when in fact they are the only ones who get rich from the wallets of their gullible followers. And most of them are proud and arrogant and hardly ever humble. It is this character of the modern day church that prompted Elisabeth Brunig to investigate how capitalism and Christianity aligned in modern America. This is what she wrote. We now live in the age of moral therapeutic deism, where the shapes and colors of religion are imported into mass market self-help schemes. She is talking about selfish Christianity and not the selfless one that Jesus Christ recommends to his followers. Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. In the kingdom of God, it is impossible to lord it over others. Instead, we serve others because the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. The way of Jesus is to serve and not to be served. And if we want to be faithful Christians, then we too must constantly seek ways to serve others and to put others above ourselves at all times. That is the way of Christ. For as Martin Luther King Jr. once wrote, life's most urgent question is this: what are you doing for others? Or what are you doing for the good of the community? The Israeli settlement of Netzarim in the heart of the Gaza Strip was a point of much conflict with militant Palestinians for several years. The conflict was so great that the settlement was evacuated in 2005. Those who lived in Netzarim did so at great personal risk, because they felt it was an important part of keeping their land free. A school teacher who lived in Netzarim in 2001 said, "I don't live where it's comfortable. I live where it's important to live." Dear friend, what would happen if Christians quit worrying about being comfortable and started doing what was important to God, leading lost souls to Him in selfless service? That is what David Livingston did. He was a pioneer missionary to Africa who walked over 29,000 miles. His wife died early in their ministry, and he faced stiff opposition from his Scottish brethren. He prayed, "Send me anywhere, only go with me. Lay any burden on me, only sustain me. Sever any ties, but the tie that binds me to your service and to your heart. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Lamb of God, who both by your example and precept instructed us to be meek and humble, give us grace throughout our lives in every thought and word and work to imitate your meekness and humility. Mortify in us the whole body of pride. Grant us to feel that we are nothing and have nothing, and that we deserve nothing but shame and contempt, but misery and punishment. Grant, O Lord, that we may look for nothing, claim nothing, and that we may go through all the sins of life not seeking our own glory, but looking wholly unto you and acting wholly for you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen.